the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
How you doing?
You look beautiful.
Do I? Thank you. I knew you was coming. I wanted to clean myself up a little bit. So let's see. I'd like to get a little raw footage before we start.
You need me to go get my hello brain thing? I didn't bring it to my desk this morning.
Absolutely.
That's brainless.
No way. Brains, Susan K. Younger is with us today. Just real relaxed, real easy. We're going to go back to the simpler things. We're going to talk about simple living. We're going to talk about, you know, life, how to calm down, how to, you know, just mellow out. So I'm excited to have her here on the show with us. She went to go get her postcard. So she is nominated in the Brains thing. Yes, absolutely. That is Susan K. Younger. We're doing it. You look gorgeous too. You got a beautiful smile on your face. I'm so glad to see that.
Well, I'm happy to be here with you today, April, and yeah. All the Brains.
That's right. Because we are forward progressive thinkers, right?
Absolutely.
So tell the rest a little bit about you and this simplistic life, because I'm excited. I want to go back to the basics.
I don't seem to be able to leave them behind. You know, I grew up in the Midwest, and my family was always one who had conversations around the dinner table. We grew our own food in our gardens, and if we didn't have a plot of land that we lived on big enough, in a small town like that, you could find a farm where you could get a small piece of land to work. So even as a child, I remember walking to the garden with mom and dad, having conversations about life and learning how to plant a seed and nurture it and grow it. And what I realized when I became an adult was those conversations, those simple conversations, were what really gave me the tools to live a life where I respected people. I coordinated in business with people heart to heart, not just head to head, and made life a beautiful relationship-based living instead of about just gaining material goods. And because of that, I found myself, even when I became a corporate vice president handling building stores for a department store, I would still take people into my home for a dinner when they were in from out of town, or we would do something simple that gave them a chance while they were on the road to interact in a normal life situation instead of making it all about having to be, you know, in a hotel alone or trying to do something formal after a busy day. You gave them a chance to really connect with who they were,
right,
and who you were, and how that pulled together beautifully.
Well, you know, again, I grew up very, very normal. And it was always dinner. We always had dinner at the same time. There was a routine. Me, mom, and daddy, we would always eat at the table. It was a ritual. It was a conversation. And it was always cool. Even if you agreed to disagree, there was a place there, and there's so much learned there, and that's just not the way that people communicate. Girl, they text with their kids.
Well, and you know what's funny?
Get across the table from them, and they'll text them.
Yeah.
Who does that?
When I was in college, my junior year, I lived in a co-ed house, three gals, three guys. We decided to do what they do in some of the fraternities, where we had one room where we all six slept, so that there would be no hanky-panky going on, because you weren't going to do anything like that with other people around.
Well, that's back then. Now that's...
I'm just saying, you know, that was what we did. But we also made it a commitment that every night all six of us would sit down for dinner together. Mm-hmm. We bought food in bulk as a group. And we always paired up at the beginning of that year somebody who didn't know how to cook with somebody who did know how to cook. Right. And we worked it around our schedule. So if somebody had finals or had a big project to do, somebody else did the cooking and cleaning so that the others could focus on what they needed to. It was always that respect for others and their needs
right.
that was looked at. And one of my roommates was Chinese. So he taught us how to cook Chinese food that, you know, sitting in the middle of Iowa, that was a real luxury. He had a rice cooker in the 70s, and we were like, what's that?
What's that? But you know what? That's tribal, okay?
Yeah.
That's a sense of community.
Absolutely.
And a sense of cohesiveness and inclusiveness, and that is what people are missing. They're so exclusive, you know, everything from their shoes to their,
yeah,
you know, to their pet food. You know, everything is in a box now. And so that's the problem, you know, the breakdown of communication. I'll tell you a quick story about a meal. My daughter was having problems in school, math. Oh, the teacher hated her. He didn't like her. He was picking on her. Well, of course, she was getting a F. And so I'm saying, wow, so let me change this. So I go to the school. I meet the teacher. He seemed like he's a pretty cool guy to me. I invite him over for dinner.
Yep.
Opened up the door, and she saw him. Susan, you would have thought she saw a ghost.
I bet so.
And she came in, and there was a different conversation. There was a different energy. There was a different expectation. They were on a level playing field. She ended up getting an A.
Yep.
You know, and so, again, it's all about introducing a conversation yep. for a meal. Now, you do some wonderful things. You know, you have mastered this. What is that? You have some cards? Let me see.
Well, that's why I wanted to say, you know, I do the bank code.
Okay, wait, hold them real still so we can see them.
Okay, well, as I drop them down so you can't see them.
So
there's four cards, and you can do it online, but each one of them has 12 words on it.
Wait. Let's cut this again. I'm gonna cut this, and then I'll do it. When you do it, just hold it steady. Give my eyes time to focus each one. I really want them to pay attention. This is your call to action.
Thank you, honey.
Okay, so then, you know, just kind of get them, put it in front of the camera, give them a minute to vision each one, and then kind of explain. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So you have this amazing process that you use cards. Tell us a little bit about the cards.
So the cards, which you can see here, let me get them in so you can kind of see them. Okay. They have 12 words on them. They are values you hold dear in life. And we call it bank code. And we say when you crack the code, you can take it to the bank. You decide, is it the relationship bank? Is it the money bank based on business? And what we ask people to do is read the four cards, take the words on each card into their brain and process which one speaks most to them. How do they use that in making a decision?
Right.
We then have them order those in a 1-4 position, and that tells us their bank code. So everybody's got a bank code. Everybody's got all four of these in their heart and mind. And when you use them with an intelligence of emotional intelligence, business intelligence, mm-hmm. sales intelligence, spiritual intelligence, and personal intelligence, all of a sudden, you're working at a heart-based, mind-based, profit-based for what you want out of life, but you do it based on your code, and you honor people by seeing them through their code. So
now, this is not the same thing, and I'm not trying to create a parallel, but it's like a psychological profiling in a way, like Myers-Briggs, just in a different kind of lane. And I absolutely
you say
love
same
it.
Thing?
Absolutely
totally different.
I did Myers-Briggs, and it told me that I would be good as a social worker or a police officer. Go figure.
Well, you know, because that's looking at your psychology.
Right.
But this is your biology. And when I say buy, it's B-U-Y.
Okay.
It's why you buy into anything. It's a buy-in in life. It's a buy-in when you're asked to do a job.
That's right.
You know, when you accept a position to work in somebody's company, you bought into the idea that you want to be part of that organization and contribute in a way that serves you and serves them. When you buy a product, you're buying it because you see it's going to serve you in some way. So if you learn to see others for what they contribute to life, the best way that they make a connection, you start speaking to them not in the way you see life, but in a way that they see life.
Absolutely, and that's what emotional intelligence is.
Absolutely.
That is why that is the big investment now, that and relationship capital. It's not regular stock, brains. You got to put some stock in back in people, okay?
Exactly.
You got to get a return on your investment.
Yeah.
Continue to do the same thing you've been doing, you're going to be broke and bankrupt.
And for me, when I first saw this 5 years ago, I was like, wait a minute, this is what I was doing intuitively. And yet I could never explain to others how to help them see what I saw, because for me, it was part of the way I was wired. It was that experience I'd had through life where we had always talked about why somebody else might have different needs than I have, why somebody else was looking at something from a different perspective than I had. Those open conversations around the dinner table had given me a basis I couldn't explain to others.
Right.
But those four cards all of a sudden were like, ding, ding, ding. The light went on.
Wow.
And it was like, wow, I could help a lot of people by sharing.
That's really cool, because you gave me an opportunity to go in. And I don't like to self-disclose too much. I don't want you guys too much in my brain, you know. But it was a very revealing, and it was very telling and very factual.
And yet it wasn't the sort of thing that painted a negative about anything you do. It was an awareness about how you do.
Exactly. So now how do I take those tools and put them in my toolbox and make them work, make them churn?
So we've got several different ways you can work with it. We do live trainings. We also have a fabulous basis of online training that supports the learning of it. The tool that you can subscribe to actually allows you to crack the code just like you did for me. And when it sent you the report about you, it sent me a report about the best way to talk to you, the best way to engage you in a positive way, and what to avoid, what not to do, so that I didn't irritate you and have you close down. You know,
I'll tell you, brains, when you go in and do it, is this going to be an offer that's going to be available to the brains?
Yes.
You guys better jump on, man. It was a trip, and it is a full report. It's not just, you know, one or two lines. It's pretty much in depth.
I just put it here in the Zoom, honey, and you tell me how else you want me to share it with you.
But we'll do it on the social media posting and YouTube, because it was very fascinating.
Well, and what I love about it is when you are a subscriber, then you can track who you've talked to. You can then put that information in your, if you're using the BCRM, or even what I do is I put it next to people's names in my phone list, so that when they call me, I'm like, oh, I need to remember to talk to them based on who they are, not who I am. I need to think about that. And we even have a tool now that I can take somebody's LinkedIn profile, run it through, and get a clue who they are before I even reach out to them there. I can take emails and text messages, code it to see how somebody's talking to me at that moment.
Well, the only thing you're missing, baby, is a microchip.
We're not going there yet, baby.
Woo, well, you're collecting the data, and data is important, because that's how we brains process anything. Is with information.
And
if you don't have a recipe for a cake, it won't rise.
Right.
If you don't have directions to your destination, you'll never arrive. If you don't take your medicine, you'll never get well. So everything is a process, brains.
Yes.
Don't get confused, okay? I need you to be very clear on that. Everything we go through. So you broke it down into the most simplistic form as far as, you know, the things that you're doing. Let's talk a little bit about, we talked a little bit about the program. Let's talk about your simple living plan, like cooking and those great things, because I've got some leftovers in there, and I'm going to
what you got in?
Great.
What you got left over, baby?
I've got some strips of steak
Yeah.
There, and I've got, of course, some bell peppers and onions. I think I'm going to make some fajitas.
Fajitas are great. The other thing I would do sometimes is, I don't know if you've ever bought those giant lavash crackers. They almost look like a pizza crust, but they're a thin cracker. And I would take and put that down, and I would cut up.
Hold on 1 second.
What's left over?
Okay.
So what I'll do is I'll take like a giant cracker bread, or, you know, now in the grocery stores you can get flat breads or take your chips. But what I love about the giant cracker breads is it ends up looking like a pizza, but instead of it having the marinara sauce and being on a dough, it's on this giant cracker. You spread out what chunks of meat you've got. You put the mushrooms and the peppers, you slice them all up so that they're small bits and it's kind of all over. You put cheese on top of it, put it in the oven just long enough to melt that cheese on it. And then you can serve that beside a salad. You can crack open the bread into pieces. You can have a marinara or a salsa on the side to dip in. And it becomes kind of this yummy, easy meal, not too formal. And you've taken what wasn't enough food and turned it into a feast.
So what kind of wine would you have with that?
Well, you know, others might have red or white, but I would probably have bourbon or rum.
I love it. You're my kind of girl. You're my kind of girl. So, you know, again, and domestication, that is so important.
It is.
For a male or a female, because my husband can burn, baby. He can clean the house. He can wash the clothes. All of that. He's very self-sufficient. And people just don't do it anymore. They want to be taken care of. You better learn how to take care of yourself.
Well, even in college, we took care of ourselves. We cooked our own meals and we did all of that stuff. And family always pitched in to help around those kind of tasks. It was always the sort of thing that was a shared activity.
Right.
You know, yes, you had to clean your own room and that, but taking care of the house was a group activity on a Saturday morning. It wasn't the sort of thing that anyone did all by themselves all the time.
No, and you had a garden or you were out there cutting the grass and, you know,
Playing
football. I saw a bunch of kids around the corner from my house. I was doing a walk. They were, you know, they were social distancing, whatever, about six of them. They were trying to play, you know, a little basketball.
Yeah.
It was so nice to see people engage and move. You don't see that everybody stuck in this device. I don't care if you're 2 years old in the grocery store or if you are 62. Everybody is in this machine. So talking about things in the machine and going back to a much simpler life, can you leave us with some encouraging words and some inspiration on how we can just kind of dial back and try to create some sort of normalcy in our lives, some sort of pattern to kind of get us over the hump?
So to me, the biggest part of it is how you connect not only with others, but with yourself. And sometimes that's based on having the great pictures of family around, having something that's a hand-me-down that is precious to you, or something that's a memory from a trip that gives you inspiration. Surround yourself with just a few select things. They don't have to be expensive. They can be something that was handed to you on a trip someplace and you just were like, wow, this was a neat little trinket and I'm going to keep it here as a memory. It might be a rock you picked up or something, you know, just those things that remind you of living life at your best, not necessarily expensive, but at your best. And then make sure you do your prayers, make sure you find time for meditation, time to really chill at a soul level and look inward to what serves you, not worried about all the external things, but the internal things.
Right.
And then when you connect with others, make sure you're looking and listening, not just thinking about the next thing you're going to tell them,
right,
but listen to them so that you truly know what they're trying to tell you. And your response can then be honoring what they're saying, not just trying to talk over them.
Right. And that's heart-centered, you know.
Very much so. Well, you know, I wrote the book Simple Living, Simple Food, Life Lessons Learned Dining with Family and Friends. And it was really based on those simple things we did as a family and how in later life I recognized those were the tools that got me to the success level of connecting with others in business as well as in life.
Do you have a book there with you?
Right here on the shelf, honey.
He's not bringing up close so everybody can see that all over the world, okay? Oh, look at that. Is that available? Turn a little bit. Is that available on Amazon?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Okay, you see that, Brains? I need you to run out and get a copy of Susan's book just to make it a little simpler. What's inside? Is there recipes? It says life lessons learned. I can't see the bottom of it.
It's life lessons learned dining with family and friends. It's occasionally there's a bit of a recipe, but for the most part, it's the stories about living.
Okay. It's for life success.
Recipes for life success. And how you see them differently at different times in your life.
Absolutely. Well, tell my Brains how to get in contact with you if they want to crack the code, they want to purchase a book, or they want to consult with you on a much more intense personal level.
So if they crack the code, I'll get back to them and I'll put that site in there because it's a little complicated to make sure you get the dots and the dashes in there right. Because it's a bp.crackmycode.com/get results. So I'll post that in this link and then that way we have that for you to share.
Well, it was really good. It was really good, Brain. It was very enlightening. It was on point. Okay, it really told me how to do that. And then you can work with Susan on a deeper level to really find out how not only do you crack the code, but do you crack it and open up the safe and find out you've got riches inside.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much for being here with me on The Edge. I appreciate you, love you, and value you. Come on back and visit me anytime.
Love you, and hi, Brains. Love all of you, too. Bless you all. Bye-bye.
Good, Brains.